Philippians chapter 3. Now, as you know, in the book of Philippians, Philippian faith, Paul has written his sons and daughters in the faith. He birthed this church quite some time earlier. He had walked with the Lord for 30 years by the time he birthed this church, and it was 10 years before, actually. And now Paul is in Rome, and he's in jail. He doesn't know what awaits him, but he loves these people. And this is not a letter of heavy doctrine as much as it is a thank you letter to these precious sons and daughters of the faith who are some of his favorites in the kingdom of God. I know we're supposed to not be partial, but he had this great relationship with these people. There wasn't much to adjust. We'll find a little bit here this morning. And this whole letter, and many of Paul's letters, are adjustment letters about correction and how to walk things better. This is a letter of thank you for standing with him. And through their pastor, they had sent a specific offering to Paul, as Paul had to rent his own place where he stayed while he was in jail and rent his and pay for his own jailers who were standing by him. And so what we have is the Apostle Paul pouring his heart out to these people. Now remember, we also talked about how Philippi was a what kind of colony? A Roman colony. A Roman colony. And what was that supposed to be? It was a touch of Rome, if you will, in the midst of a Gentile world. So they were bringing Rome to the world. And Paul uses that as an illustration for us as Christians. We're to bring the kingdom of God. Where? On earth as it is in heaven. And so he says to them, you're a colony of heaven to bring heaven on earth. How many know we don't live our lives to escape someday? Well, none of you know that. We don't live our lives to escape someday. All right, we're going to look forward to a sure place in heaven, but there's life to be lived now on earth. How many want to escape out of this life on earth? Don't raise your hands. Okay. All right, but where you go, where you live, when you go to the store, how many know Jesus walks into that store with you? Come on. When you go someplace, Jesus goes with you. He is inside of you. And so the kingdom of God is being brought to this earth with people who have a living relationship with Jesus. Punch each other in the arm and say, let's live for Jesus. Philippians chapter 3, verses 17 through 21. Thank you, Dean. Perfect. Philippians chapter 3, 17 through 21. I'm going to read it to you out of the New King James. Then we're going to look at it out of a different version. Brethren, join in following my example. Philippians 3, verses 17 through 21. Join in following my example and note those who so walk as you have us for a pattern. How many can look at you and say, you are my pattern for walking like Jesus? Huh? Okay. So how many want to be growing in that way? So people can look and say, okay, I see a pattern there. For many walk, verse 18, of whom I have told you often and now tell you even weeping, the apostle says, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, whose glory is in their shame, who set their mind on earthly things. Verse 20, if you've got it in front of you, I want you to read it out loud, no matter what translation you have. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body that it may be conformed to His glorious body according to the working by which He is able even to subdue all things to Himself. How many believe you've got a glorious body this morning? Don't raise your hands. Okay, how many think we're still working on our bodies here too, huh? All right, okay, I know I am. Anyway, watch this out of the message version. This is fantastic. Stick with me, friends. Keep track of those you see running the same course, heading for the same goal, or headed for the same goal. There are many out there taking other paths, choosing other goals, trying to get you to go along with them. I've warned you of them many times. Sadly, I'm having to do it again. All they want is, say it with me, easy street. They hate Christ's cross. Now, remember we spoke last several weeks about the Judaizers, those who said you got to become a Jew, get circumcised before you can become a Christian, you have to obey the laws of Moses. And Paul is saying, that is error. That is not true. We are saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. Amen? All right. So they hate Christ's cross, verse 19. But Easy Street is a dead-end street. Those who live there make their bellies their gods. Belches are their praise. All they can think of is their appetites. Watch verse 20. But there's far more to life for us. Say it with me, please. We're citizens of high heaven. We're citizens of high heaven. We're waiting the arrival of the Savior, the Master, Jesus Christ, who will transform our earthly bodies into glorious bodies like His own. He'll make us beautiful and whole with the same powerful skill by which He is putting everything as it should be under and around Him. Church, say it with me. We are heaven's citizens. One more time. We are heaven's citizen. Paul's pouring his heart out to his sons and daughters of the faith to understand, don't get distracted by the world. Your life belongs somewhere else. You don't belong in the world, loving the things of the world. It doesn't mean we retreat from this life. No, sir, we live this life. We go to the stores, we do our shopping, we go to work, we do whatever we need to do in our families, and live for the glory of God. Turn to each other and say, I want you to live for the glory of God. Don't be distracted by those who want to distract you from the kingdom of God. The Judaizers, the Gnostics, who said Jesus hadn't come in the flesh, and the Romans especially at this time, the Romans lived, you guys, for gluttony. They lived for their bodily appetites, which include sexual appetites, homosexuality, adultery, fornication, every kind of sexual immorality was okay at that day. It's one of the things that destroyed Rome as a culture and as a country. But they turned to the fleshly appetites. Don't be distracted by the world, Paul says. You are a heavenly citizen. Turn to each other and say, you're a heavenly body. Careful, careful. No, no, no. If you're a guest with us, don't do it. Don't be messed up. We're just kidding. All right. Now, just like the Philippians, many of those in this Roman colony had never seen Rome. They'd been born and raised there. They were part of the Roman colony, but they'd never seen Rome. Just like we Christians, we've never tangibly seen heaven yet, but we are heaven's citizens. Make sense? We're heaven's citizens. We find our life, our passion, our pursuit, our goals are different. How many eagerly come to church? Come on, how many eagerly come to church? The rest need to get your attitude right. No. So, we eagerly come to church. We come because we want to learn of God's ways. We're heavenly citizens. We don't just hang out at home on Sunday morning, although I'm sure some of you could look at me and go, the golf game's on. There's a lot of things on I could be doing. Pastor Kevin, you better be grateful I'm here. I am here. I'm grateful you're here. Okay? But listen, we come with an eagerness to learn of God's ways and to stand up and be paying attention to what the Lord does, just like this group of people. Teach me, Dad. Teach me, Mom. We eagerly look for Him and we talk about Him. We sing about Him. We pray to Him. We long for Him. We're here this morning as citizens of heaven with hungry hearts. Someone say amen. 1 Peter 2, verse 11. Thank you, Dean. 1 Peter 2, verses 11 and 12. Beloved, Paul says, or Peter says rather, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul, having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works which they observe, glorify God in the day of visitation. They're going to come up to the end of the road and they're going to have to admit, you know, I may have accused these people, but these people lived for Jesus. And I got to tell you, they loved me. Don't you want your neighbors to say that of you? Yeah. Hebrews 11, verses 13 through 16. These all died in faith. Of course, the faith chapter. Not having received the promises, but having seen them far off, they were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed, please say it with me, that they were strangers and pilgrims. Where? On the earth. For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland. And truly, if they had called to mind that country from which they had come out, they would have had opportunity to return. But now they desire a better, a heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. We are heaven's citizens. Come on, say it with me. Heaven's citizens. We're different. If you try to fit in with the world, you don't. And you can't. If you have given and surrendered your life to Jesus. You belong to Jesus. Say it with me. I belong to Jesus. We don't think like the world. We better not be acting like the world. Our life is a beacon to shine the light for Jesus. A few weeks ago, we talked about them standing on the shore. Remember burning bonfires on the shore because ships having trouble out on the sea needed to be able to have their way lit to safety. And that's the exact Greek meaning of the phrase holding forth the word of life. It's like shining a light so people can come to the shore of safety in Jesus. You know, I'm one of heaven's citizens. And if that doesn't change how I live, then I didn't fully get the message of what it means. I didn't really get the whole deal if I think I can call myself one of heaven's citizens, surrendered to Jesus, and yet turn my back on him and go walk and live like the world. Now, how many of you know we're not instantly perfect? Yeah, right. Elaine, tap Cease on the shoulder and say, I know you're not perfect. So you get it because you live in the front row here. I love that. All right, but we're not perfect yet. But guess what? From glory to glory, the Bible says, he's changing me. From one successful, completed dealing in the Lord to the next. How many know God's dealing with you about something in your life? Come on. Come on, let me see a show of hands. God is dealing with you about something in your life. It doesn't matter whether it's your attitude, your neighbor, your finance, whatever it is. There's something God's working on in God's kids to make them like Jesus. Right? Yes. No. Tap her on the shoulder. Go ahead, tap her on the shoulder. Say, you know, I know he's working on you. All right, so there you go. Now tap each other on the shoulder and say, but change looks good on you. Sometimes we measure progress, Pastor Carl taught me a long time ago, in inches rather than miles. But we're changing bit by bit into his glory. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. I'm going to do it out of a couple of versions. But we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image, say it with me please, from glory to glory. Just as by the Spirit of the Lord. Watch it out of the New Living. So all of us who have had that veil removed can see and reflect the glory of the Lord. And the Lord, who is the Spirit, makes us more. Makes us more. And more. Is there another paycheck? Oh, well, okay. It's supposed to say, makes us more and more like him as we are changed into his glorious image. Okay, he makes us more and more like him. I want to ask you one more time. Anybody in this room ever have any problems? Is God dealing with you about anything? Kind of like this. Sometimes you feel and look like this. Now I have two dogs. Honey looks just like that sometimes. Like a doggy in headlights. But I got to tell you, you want to know what this is the attitude that says, you know, I messed up. I know I messed up. Can I come out now? But there's a caption that came with this one. I'll let you read this one yourself here. Can you read it?
No.
Oh, sorry. That's why I have Dean. Thank you. Just got to turn that world upside down. And here's what the caption is with this one. That dog, remember the look?
Yeah.
And it goes like this. Wasn't me. So, as citizens of heavenly kingdoms, of the heavenly kingdom, how do we live differently? Church, Walking with Jesus affects everything we do, everything we think, who we are as people, how we act, how we behave, what we do. Being his citizen defines our life. You know, a lot of people, how are you defining your life? I was a CEO, I was a CFO, I was an admiral, I wasn't anybody. Paul says all that stuff, I count but loss, because now I belong to Jesus. That's fine that you had all that, but before the Lord, what matters is having him in your heart. Amen. Right? What matters is him. And Jesus defines our life. He's not just an add-on on Sunday morning occasionally. Not an afterthought. We almost forgot. He's everything. Remember the old Ralph Carmichael song, He's Everything to Me? Remember that song back in 1972? His handiwork I see, and the stars his handiwork I see. He's everything to me, little strumming guitar. That song was condemned as wild rock and roll by the old ones who didn't want new music in the church. So now you look back at it, you go, whoa, that was wild rock and roll. All right, so he defines our life. Well, what does that mean, he defines our life? Number one, we stand fast in the Lord. We hang in there together because we're in this together. Look at each other and say, I'm hanging in there with you. We are in this together. Philippians 4, verses 1 through 3. Therefore, my beloved and longed for brethren, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, beloved. Look at his heart, for his kids. So stand fast in the Lord, beloved. There is very joy, my crown, this church, you people, my crown, I live for you. And Paul is warning them with this kind of heart and loving them and guiding them because he loves his kids in the Lord. They're his crown and his very accomplishment in life. They stand fast together. Now, we get to the section where there's the smallest kind of correction that takes place in this church out of the whole letter. And it is this. There are a couple of the women who labored with Paul as they birthed this church. Remember, the first person to respond in Philippi was who? Lydia. Yeah. Remember? Out of the woman's Bible study. So the women are the ones who stood with him as he built the church and as they established this church on its foundations in the Lord. And there were two women who labored side by side and got along, but all of a sudden conflict entered in. How many know in God's church every now and then there's conflict? Don't look at each other. But sometimes the devil wants to throw a lot of conflict in and fester it and fill it with infection that divides us and destroys the church. Amen. These two women's name, in the next couple of verses it says it, I don't have them up there, but they were called Euodia, and her name means prosperous journey. And then there's Suntuke, and her name means pleasant acquaintance. And neither of them were being either. They were not getting along. They were divided. Paul says, remember, church, you are heaven citizens. I want you to solve this issue. And right there in this letter, he calls on the fellow brethren in the Lord. I want you to help these women get along. If you were one of those gals, how do you think you felt if they read that church out loud, or that letter out loud in the church that money? Okay, we're best of buds. But sometimes stupid things divide us. Come on, church, stupid stuff divides. And it's usually no bigger than that. An issue of I want to be in control about this, or I want to be in control about that. I want Kleenex with that stripe on it, or I want that kind of, you know, it's stupid stuff. And Paul says, you need to stand together in the house of the Lord. What does it mean to be one of heaven's citizens? We stand fast in the Lord, and we stand together. But every now and then, we have problems. Just every now and then. All I did is ask you to come stand by me. Every now and then, we have problems, but we're heaven citizens, we get along and we put it aside and we ask each other's forgiveness. And We forgive. Come on, church. We forgive. If there's somebody here or somebody, you can't control whether or not they forgive you. You can't control how they act, but you can control whether or not you forgive them. And how many know that can be a chore? I was sharing with somebody just this week. Oh, man, there's a person, not in the church, there's a person who just really pushes my button. It's in property management, okay? My buttons get pushed every now and then there. And I'm having to face this. I'm having to go, God, forgive me. I'm not acting like you. I repent and forgive. We are heaven's citizen. Number two, we rejoice. We rejoice. Philippians says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Out of several versions, it says that. Out of the New Living, always be full of joy in the Lord. I say it again, rejoice. Philippians out of the Message, 4:4. Celebrate God all day long, every day. I mean, revel in Him. How come you're happy? Not just because I had a great cheeseburger with bacon, but because Jesus saved my life. Because He forgave me. Because I fellowshiped with some great people this morning. And I love going to church. And I'm eager to be there. And I'm a citizen of heaven. I don't have my life firmly fixed in this planet. I'm a citizen of the heavenly kingdom. Rejoice. And again I say rejoice. And church, we got to realize, Paul said that from prison. Rejoice! And again I say rejoice. And Paul said it from prison. Now, if Paul can say that from prison, I know you and I don't have that bad of a situation this morning. So we can rejoice in the Lord. Knowing and loving Jesus makes our life different. Now, it doesn't mean every situation is giddy and full of fun. It doesn't mean that. But it means God is always good. Come on, say it with me. God is good all the time. And all the time, God is good. Number three, what does it mean to be a citizen of heaven? We pray about everything. We pray about everything. Is there anything too hard for the Lord?
No.
Come on, sometimes we have the attitude, don't we? It's too tiny. I'm not going to mess with God on this one. Or if you haven't given your life to the Lord, that's the way you think. Oh, it's too small. I'm not going to bother God with this one. But the opposite is true then. If I'm not going to bother God with this one, I'm saying I'm big enough to handle it myself on my own. How many know that's not true? I love to be in control and I'll drive this car, Lord. He says, oh yeah? All right, I'll sit back and watch you careen off the edge of the road. We pray about everything. Watch this. Philippians 4, verse 6. Be anxious for how much?
Nothing.
But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Out of the Message, don't fret or worry. Instead of worrying, pray. Let petitions and praises shape your worries into prayers, letting God know your concerns. Be anxious, the Greek literally means about not one thing. Say it with me. Not one thing. Paul's in prison, possibly getting ready to die. He's saying this to his daughters and sons in the faith. Don't be anxious or worry about anything. Lift your voice to Jesus in prayer instead. That's His instruction. Don't worry, pray. Come on, say it with me. Don't worry, pray. Worrying is bad because it's a subtle form of I distrust God. When believers worry, they are saying God's not big enough to bring a solution. So I have to do it myself. I don't think God cares. I don't think He can handle me. Is that true?
No.
It's not true. So Paul offers prayer as the antidote to worry. What's an antidote? Come on, what's an antidote?
A cure.
A cure, okay. What else? What's an antidote? A solution, okay. What do you need an antidote for?
Poison.
What's it?
Snake bites.
Poison. Snake bites.
I think you're taking some of the same poison and putting it in, like with a snake bite.
Sometimes they do that. That's right, for an antidote. That's exactly right. So what happens? The devil comes along and he nails you. He bites you and fills you with some poison. Come on, have you ever had attitudes start to rise up towards somebody? You go, where'd that come from? You got bit and there's some poison going in, or there's circumstances that happen. Things take place in our life that aren't good. And so the apostle says, what you need to do, the antidote to that poison is lift it up and give it to God. Nothing's too small. Nothing is too big. Offload everything to Jesus. God wants you to give it all to Him. Paul is saying, take the energy that you put into worry and put it into prayer. Come on. Anybody put worry into energy into worry ever? Come on. You can't sleep at night. You're pacing the floor. You're sitting, and your wife says, what's wrong with you? Nothing. But you know, there's something going on, and there's energy going into that thing. And Paul says, I want you to put that energy into prayer. God, I cry out to you. You're in charge. I trust you. I put my trust in you. And when you do that, He takes care of you. And it looks kind of like this. See that tiny dog? And that's a big dog. How many go, God is the big dog? The devil bites and devours. And Jesus said, if you'll give it to me, I'll wrap you up in my arms. I'll hold you as a citizen of heaven, and I'll take the heavy load. Lift up your voice, cry out to God. Psalm 57, verses 6 and 7 says, they have prepared a net for my steps. My soul is bowed down. They've dug a pit before me. Into the midst of it, they themselves have fallen. My heart is steadfast, O God. My heart is steadfast. I will sing and give praise. Pray. Give it to Him. The antidote to the poison of fear and worry. Fourthly, as a citizen of heaven, we have what? Say it with me. We have peace. Philippians 4, verse 7. Say it with me, please. Read it with me. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. It passes understanding. We don't know how we could have peace in this situation. But Jesus gives us that peace. Now, let me tell you what that literally means in the Greek. Why does God give His people peace? Because the Bible says He literally guards, sets a guard, sets a sentry for your heart and mind. The term guard is another military term that Paul is using in the book of Philippians. And it means to surround and to protect, just like in a garrison in a city. God protects you and is the soldier on your behalf watching after you. God's peace is like soldiers surrounding your heart and mind, your emotions, your thoughts, securing you against threat and harm from the outside. It's like you're in a strong castle. Anybody like castles? It's like you're in a strong castle and nobody can get in. If you're one of heaven's citizens, the Holy Spirit is standing guard and watching over you. Just like this. Take it a little bit that way, Dean. There you go. The Holy Spirit is watching after you, taking care of you. He's on guard. We have peace with God. Peace with God because He cares for you. How many know? I really want to know. How many actually understand Jesus cares for you? He loves you. He cares about what concerns you more than you care about it. So give it to Him. And let Him take care of you. And that's why you can have peace with God. He's watching out for you. Today's Father's Day. And sometimes our earthly fathers failed us. Our Heavenly Father never does. The biggest problem is, just like little kids, we sometimes try to scamper away. And He says, come back. Come. And if you're anything like my dogs in your life, I say, come. And Sugar looks at me and goes, but once she comes, I'll scoop her up in my arms. And honey, and I'll love on them. And it's so funny. She scampers away and scampers away, but when I get close enough so she can't scamper away, then she arcs her back and looks at me so sweetly, like, scratch my back and just keep doing it all day long. I'll stay right here. But when we respond to the Lord, and when we know He's in charge, it gives us that sense of assurance. We are heaven's citizens where we have peace. And our Heavenly Father will take care of us if we'll just stay in the basket.
Oh.
How many are glad you have a risen Savior who loves you so much that He lives to take care of His people? You are one of heaven's citizens. So there's your image today. Just stay in the basket and let Father God take care of you. Stand with me, would you please? It's a good thing to be one of heaven's citizens. Amen? Father, we thank You that You are so good to us, so in charge, and we love You so much. Thank You that You do all things well. And Lord, we thank You that we are Your kids. Now, Lord, every heavy thing, every light thing, we give it all to You and let You take care of it all. In Jesus' name, amen. If you're here this morning and there's something heavy on your heart that you know you need to give to Jesus and want help to do it, we'll be honored to pray with you. Key of D game. We'll be honored to pray with you. If you've not given your life to the Lord, come on up. We'll be honored to do that, to help you find Jesus as the one who will carry you in His basket. Are you glad to be one of heaven's citizens?
Amen.
Amen. Lord, we give You praise and thanksgiving this morning that You are a fantastic Father God. Your love is amazing, and yet it's ours. Thank You, Lord. We receive You, and we return our love to You. Now bless each one as they've come here this morning. Let them go forth with strength and encouragement in their soul, knowing how loved they are by You, and what a joy it is to be one of heaven's citizens. Bless them now, in Jesus' name. And they all said,
Amen.
Amen. Be released. Have a fantastic day in the Lord.